G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Reckons. I'm actually bringing you some podcasts and sounds from the Sydney Royal Easter Show in 2017. The Sydney Royal Easter Show is the largest agricultural event anywhere in Australia. It brings together over 50,000 different exhibits from cattle, sheep, poultry, horses, to arts and crafts and fine arts. It's an amazing spectacle. If you've never been, you might be amazed to see the variety of things that you could do here at the show and still not see it all. Over the next couple of episodes, I'll be bringing you some of the sights and sounds, as best I could describe them to you, of the Sydney Royal Easter Show for 2017.
Morning, John Bennett, Ringmaster, Royal Easter Show.
Thanks, John. Well, we're actually standing in the middle of the main arena of the Sydney Royal Easter Show. It's a perfect day. We're looking at the turf, and part of your job is to monitor the turf and the rings before we start, but the ringmaster is a much bigger job than that. So can you tell us what the ringmaster does?
Well, Al, at this show, a lot of it's been about the turf. Look, I'm basically the umpire in the main arena here, so all of our competitions are the pinnacle of these people's year of work, competing in country shows across New South Wales, Queensland, Western Australia, Victoria, South Australia. I'm the over umpire that makes whatever decision I need to make sure competition's fair here. So that takes a fair bit of time, and then of course there's protests and all of these types of things that you deal with day to day, and then of course the beloved turf, which hasn't stood up for us this year, a matter of circumstance. Farmers will understand that you don't always have an ideal season and you need to play the cards you're dealt. We've been dealt a few from the bottom of the pack this year, but it'll be right. The lesson for us here is that basically the cooch in the main arena here didn't stand up over summer, and unless we've got a cracking cooch footing to start the show, the arena just won't hold up. The rye just doesn't do it for us.
To paint a picture, the main arena is used from 8 o'clock. I see there's some horses and officials coming out now. So it's used from about 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night for the 16 days of the show. What goes on in the main arena? I know that for many people who haven't been to the show, there's a bit of an idea that there might be some horse events out here, but can you give us a bit of an idea of the scope of what happens in the main arena at Sydney Royal Easter Show?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, horse events are all judged here. They're all being judged in our actual competition. A lot of people think, oh, you know, how come you can't put all the horses on in the afternoon, or, you know, have them at a time when there's more crowd here? But of course, these are bona fide competitions, and a lot of them require you to qualify through to a final through a series of preliminary classes. And so scheduling-wise, we do have to start at 8 o'clock, which is a shame, because obviously there's nobody here in the stands at the moment except for the connections of the horses that are out here themselves. But this is all because they'll qualify through, and by about 4 o'clock this afternoon, some of these will be going into champion classes. So during the day, horses, the type of horse events is the hack rings, which we've got here today. We've normally got show jumping here, although because of the turf issues, they've gone out to the Schmidt Arena, where they're quite happy. Into the early evening, we try and put on some of the more, perhaps more exciting horse-related events. So our World Championship Camp Draft was here last week, a great competition, really, really great. Then we've got the polo, the tent pegging. Once the horse events finish, of course, the rodeo as well. Brilliant rodeo here last week. Our Federation Challenge was an individual event, which we haven't had here at Sydney Royal for about 17 years, I think. And then now back to the teams event, the State of Origin, last night, which was a great start to that. Then into the entertainment, so the Man from Snowy River, the bikes, and then finishing with the fireworks. So, and then as soon as the minute that the arena finishes, people work on this all night and just finish as I step on at 6:15 the following morning. That's picking up the mess from fireworks and maintaining the arena as much as possible. That's a very good looking horse just there, Alistair.
I was just going to... John's just been distracted by a beautifully prepared grey horse that I think probably has some connections to the ringmaster. But tell us, I guess, a bit about the tradition, John. We're standing... I'm hardly ever allowed out in the main arena, it must be said. Cattle people don't get asked out very often. But there is some traditions about the main arena. One of those is the people we see in the grey horses and green jackets. Can you explain a little bit about what we're seeing there, John?
So the green coats, basically they're here to, they're my henchmen, more or less. So if anything needs doing or exhibitors need to be brought to or from an arena, these are the guys that do that. There also you can see what he's doing there at the minute. He's just noticed a gate open. Obviously we can't have a gate open anywhere in the arena. If a horse gets away, we can end up in a pretty big mess. So Steve's just diligently shutting that gate. And then, you know, horses that play up, or we had quite a serious incident here 2 days ago with a novice Percheron in a cart that there's a lot of atmosphere in this arena for young horses, and it all got a bit too much for him. He became overwhelmed, ended up tangled in his harness. He was perfectly fine, but ended up on the ground, and we needed the green coats to all jump off their horses. People, to be a green coat here, you've got to be a pretty spectacular horseman. So these guys do a great job.
So, John, I know that you're probably itching to get away. You've got, I guess, there's probably about 20 or 30 horses lined up on one side and all starting to happen. But tell me a little bit about yourself. How do you end up as the ringmaster, the person making the decision for how many horses this year? 10, 15,000 horses over the entire show. Yep. How do you end up in that position?
There's a couple of times during the show I wondered whether it was a hospital pass, but no, I love every minute of it. It's a great honour. I came from an ag show, well, a horse background, competing at shows myself throughout growing up, and then was president of my local show down in Nowra, and then from there I got the opportunity to join the youth group here at the RAS of New South Wales, and then was lucky enough to be asked to submit a resume for consideration for council. And then became the assistant ringmaster. I was the assistant to both Lawrence Angus and Bill Pickens, so I spent 6 years as assistant ringmaster, and now took the job on from there. So it is an enormous honour to have this job, and every day I think how lucky I am to be able to be a part of all of this.
John, it's I mean, you're very modest as well at the same time. You've had a bit of an extraordinary career in your support of agricultural shows. You've been overseas to help with the Agricultural Societies Council of the Commonwealth. Can you just give me a couple of minutes about what you've done and some of the experiences you've had in other countries with their agricultural shows?
Al, I am very lucky for the things that I've done overseas. So via the organisations here and the ASC, got a opportunity to go to a conference of the Royal Agricultural Society of the Commonwealth, and then became involved with that organisation and their youth. I was next generation facilitator for that organisation for a few years, and through that we've gone every 2 years, formed a activity where we take 10 or a dozen farmers from across Commonwealth countries. So they're generally sponsored by large show organisations. Our organisation here sends one or two, as do the Royal Shows in the UK, the big shows in Canada. And then in addition, we fully fund developing country delegates to go as well. And we go and visit a show society in a developing country. So it enables our guys to help them with the running of their show, and the developing country delegates that come with us. It hopefully inspires them to go home and run an agricultural show in their area. Because paired back to its basics, agricultural shows are as vital now as ever they were, particularly, certainly here in Australia, but also in developing countries, to encourage them to do all the things they should be. It's the absolute basic knowledge that is lacking in a developing country in agriculture. So, you know, you have people talking about GM crops and, you know, funding to send them, you know, combine harvesters and whatever. It's not that these guys need. It's the absolute back to basics of breed this goat with that goat, you'll get a better goat, and that'll feed your family. So you go to a lot of these places where these people are absolutely battling and you can only afford to keep one goat. Well, if you can only afford to, you really want to be keeping the best goat you can get your hands on. So that's where an ag show can come in for them.
So when you went over there, and I think that's summed it up really well, you went to an Indian agricultural show, I think, and you guys were all involved not just in helping in the background, I think you were judging competitions and a few other things. Can you tell us what that's like? I can't even begin to imagine an Indian agricultural show.
Oh, Al, that's an experience I will always remember. So we and these people hadn't had an ag show in their districts. So we went there a few days before, and they basically all they had was a paddock and access to some marquees. So we turned up and planned amongst ourselves. Okay, we've got a. It was about 10 acres, I suppose, the paddock. And we said, well, look, okay, where are we going to put the marquees and where are we going to do, you know, whatever for the day, where the judging rings be, and then made rosettes for the judges to wear and ribbons to give to the winners. So we prepared the whole thing and we were ready. And the show was to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, so our guys got there at 7 and we were all standing there with our judges, ribbons on and no exhibitors. And then 9 o'clock came, and 9:30 came, and we started to get very worried that we'd flown all the way from, you know, four corners of the globe, and the exhibitors weren't interested. And then the next thing, down the road started to come a flock of, and I would say 600, 700 goats. And what they'd done is they'd basically started from one spot in the district and started herding goats, and as they'd go through the village after village after village, people would add their goats to the complete to the complete mob, and until we got to the showground and there were 600. So how we were going to figure out whose goats were who in this enormous mob, and how you're going to possibly judge that many goats, but we worked it out. We had a fellow called Brayton Milford with us from South Africa, so a very well-respected winner of their National Young Judges competition over there. So we hunted them all into an arena that we had a bit of bunting around, and then Brayton just started drafting them through, telling, grab that one by the leg, grab that one by the leg, and we drafted out the 50 out of it that he thought were the pick of the bunch. And then from there we put those 50 in another ring and then judge them in a more traditional sense like we would. At the end of the day I was there thinking, I've got no idea how anyone's going to know who the owner of the winning goat is, but I tell you what, they knew. the exhibit, they well and truly. So and the pride on their faces when they received their ribbons. And interestingly, what we then did at the end of the day, sat them all down. And the judges explained why they'd made the decisions in all of the sections. So there was poultry, there was goats, there was cattle. And they just explained, well, look, the reason this one. And the greatest comment that we got was, oh, if I knew that that's what you wanted to do, we'd have bought a different goat. And again, that's what it's all about.
Excellent. John, thank you so much for giving a bit of time and letting me sneak out in the main arena again. I know it doesn't happen that often for my section to get out here, but it's always good. Have a good last couple of days of the show.
Thanks, Al.